Get out to the Band of Brothers hotline and bring in our special guest for the 6 o'clock hour. I want to talk some Boise State football post-spring analysis, and B.J. Raines is going to enlighten us as to what BYU Cougars and the fan base can expect when Boise State rolls into town. B.J., how you living?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, guys. What's up?
We're doing great, man. You represent the Idaho Press Tribune. You've been covering Boise State football for a while. Tell us just real quick, how's Boise State looking after spring ball? Are you confident in their quarterback situation? What are some of the strengths that they have right now?
Well, I mean, if you're looking at strengths, obviously you go to the defense first. They bring back pretty much all their playmakers on defense. They're going to be, you know, I would think a top 15, top 20 nationally. Defense next year. The defensive line should be really strong. They obviously bring back Kamale Correa on defensive end. As a junior, was an All-Mountain West player last year. Tanner Vallejo, a linebacker, was the defensive MVP of the Mountain West Championship game and the Fiesta Bowl. He's back. Obviously, their corner, Dante Dion, their safety, Darian Thompson, both All-Mountain West players are back as seniors. So the defense should be loaded, and I think they're going to need the defense to be loaded, especially early in the season, because the quarterback battle is still up in the air. Running back battle is still up in the air. I mean, they bring back the receivers. They bring back their whole offensive line, which certainly should help. But, a new quarterback and a new running back, there's a lot of unknowns there. They still don't have those areas figured out. And so, that you know, are arguably the two most important positions, quarterback and running back, they don't know who that's going to be. So their whole season is going to depend on that. But especially early in the season, I think they're going to have to lean on that defense.
What's the hype like out there in Boise about this Boise State team? They're coming off another big bowl victory, getting into one of those New Year's Six games and getting the win. What's the feeling like around Boise about this Boise State Bronco football team?
Well, the only thing you have to say is Chris Peterson coming back to Boise in the season opener. Washington Huskies coming on to the Blue September 4th, the biggest game in the history of Albertson Stadium. People here saying one of the biggest games in the history of the state of Idaho for any sporting event. I mean, it's unreal. The hype is the highest it's probably been in several years around Boise State football. Solely, you won the Fiesta Bowl. You had a great year. But even, the day Chris Peterson left, knowing that the opening game was of this upcoming season was going to be Peterson and, coming back to the Blue and a lot of the other coaches on staff, that was a game people had circled before last year even happened. Then they went out and won the Fiesta Bowl, got the swagger back, and ever since that day after that Fiesta Bowl ended, they walked off the field with another trophy. They've been turning their attention towards Washington coming down, and the fans are excited. Our website, blueturfsports.com, we've already got a ticker going down to the second until kickoff. I mean, it's about 91 days, I think, and so people are just going nuts, and they can't wait, and it's already dominating sports talk radio, and the return and the ticket prices are insane for that game. So they're excited. It's the first time they've opened up at home also in about 6 years. They play a lot of these marquee games on neutral sites or road games. They finally get a home game to kick off the season. That week two game against BYU, and then week three they go to Virginia. And they feel like if they can get through those three games somehow unscathed, there's a lot of people in this town thinking they're going to run the table and go undefeated. And, there's people saying, hey, if they go undefeated, win the Mountain West Championship game, is there any way they can get in the picture for the playoff? And, probably not, but certainly the hype early in the season, their three hardest games are probably, the three non-conference games. A couple tough road games in conference back-to-back at Utah State and Colorado State, but certainly everyone's looking forward to the first couple games of the year. And if they escape, 3-0 to start the season, they're going to be ranked, somewhere in the 10 to 15 range by that point, and the hype train's going to even get higher. But, yeah, people are very, very excited about this team. Quarterback, like I said, running back, still some question marks, but the swagger's back after the Fiesta Bowl win last year, and this town and this team couldn't be more fired up about Boise State football.
I was just looking at that schedule, and the question I want to ask you is Boise State trying to make a statement? Because I think the criticism for Boise for a long time was that they'll play one good non-conference game, and then they just have their easier conference schedule. The rest of their non-conference games traditionally haven't been as good. But this is, like you said, three tough games in a row. It seems like they're scheduling up now. Are they trying to make a statement with these non-conference games?
Yeah, I mean, they have what was the deal with BYU, like 12 years or something? I mean, they had the deal with BYU set. So, I mean, they knew that game was going to be on their schedule every year. And, you know, they try to get another marquee game, like you said. And then they like going on the road to maybe a lesser Power 5 team or, on the road to maybe even a team from a Group of 5, you know, league that they feel like they can win. I think next year they open the season again, or they play Lafayette, I think, on the road to start Louisiana Lafayette the following year. So they've got a couple of questionable road games. I mean, the Virginia game, Virginia's obviously down. That's a game they probably should win. They should win, I would think. If you look at their future schedules coming up, they've got Florida State, they've got Oklahoma State, they've got Oregon State, Washington State. I mean, they really start to load Michigan State. They really start to load up the schedules here in the coming years. They got some really, really good home and home series set, and that's a big thing in Boise is that folks just want to see these teams come to town. A lot of these games have been on the road or on neutral sites. So, you know, they got Florida State scheduled to come to the Blue. I mean, they got Oklahoma State coming to the Blue in the next 5-6 years. So they got some big teams coming in. Washington is certainly a big one for them, and people are fired up. But, yeah, I mean, it's always going to be about the schedule for them. I mean, last year, heck, they lost two games, and they still made the Fiesta Bowl with this new system. So the new system probably benefits them more. They're able to go out and schedule some of these games, and certainly, you know, this year is no different, and I think the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years you're going to see a lot of the same things.
Talk to me about the transition between Coach Peterson and Coach Harsin. How difficult was that for the fan base, or was it easy? How did the media look at it as? Did it look like Peterson was kind of disrespecting Boise State by leaving it after building up this perennial top 25 program? Walk me through this transition and where they're at right now, because it sounds like they're more excited than ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think people were shocked, and initially people were shocked. They had seen their win or their loss total, I guess, increase. The record had gotten worse. I think 4 years in a row stayed the same or gotten worse. 4 years in a row, they went 8-5. Obviously didn't have a very good year. When that season started, they just got shellacked by Washington in the opener, like 38-6 or something. So, I think it was just one of those things where at first they were shocked, but once they found out that Brian Harsin got hired, I think that the fact that it was a guy that had so many connections to the previous, Boise State era, and he was the offensive coordinator during the previous two Fiesta Bowls, that obviously I think was big for them to get him back in the fold. And Brian Harsin did a great job early on going out into the community. They did a thing where all the coaches in a 3-day period called the Bronco Blitz went and visited every high school in the state of Idaho that had a football team in like 3 days. And so, I mean, they really got out in the community and really did some things. This year they've been taking the Fiesta Bowl trophy around to a lot of grocery stores and things like that and letting people get pictures with it. So they're really trying to bring the fan base, connect with the fan base more again. I think they've maybe felt like under Coach Pete things had, I don't want to say got stale, but there's certainly, the message maybe after a while had, started to deteriorate a little bit. You get a new voice, a new way of things are done. The practices are run very similar as far as that goes. There's not a whole lot of difference from that standpoint, but certainly now all the coaches are on Twitter and social media, and they've got the code words when they get recruits and things like that. So they really been more transparent and open, and have done a lot of behind-the-scenes videos and things like that to kind of bring the fans, more into the program. So certainly a younger coaching staff, more energy, more youth, and certainly I think that's translated. The players like it. They love the new coaching staff. They did not like Coach Peterson, obviously, but I think the change, the time was right for a change, and I think after the initial shock wore off, I think that everybody, just kind of said, okay, we're going to be fine here. And then the first year to go out and win the Fiesta Bowl and to see Coach Pete's team struggle and have them kind of lose their bowl game and not look very good, and to see Boise State win the Fiesta Bowl, I think after that first year, everybody was like, okay, we're going to be fine here.
Talk to me about cost of attendance right now there at Boise State. The last numbers that I saw put Boise State on top of pretty much everybody, over $5,000 annually for each player on scholarship. How has that affected recruiting? Is Boise State on top? Is there anyone else that offers more in cost of attendance, fees to the players?
Not in the Mountain West. Yeah, it's around $5,100 is the estimate. They're still waiting for the exact amount. And, it does change a little if a player's married or has a kid or if they're coming from a different state. So the average for each player is around $5,100, which is the highest in the Mountain West. It's higher than all but like two Big Ten schools. It's up there with Power 5 schools. There's a lot of Power 5 schools that are not giving as much as Boise State is. And again, it comes from the financial aid office. You know, it's not like the athletics department is just trying to give them more money. The financial aid office came up with the formula, and however they did it, for some reason, the cost of living, whether it be they counting in a car, or I really don't know, they get $5,100 for the average, and that's high number. And I talked to Mark Coyle, the Boise State athletic director, and he said, you know, hey, we're committed to this. We're not going to just do football. You know, there's some talk that UNLV is only committed to giving that to the football and the men's and women's basketball teams. They've got, you know, scholarship athletes on the soccer team or the golf team that aren't getting this money while the football players are. And so Boise State said, we're not doing that. We're going to give it to all 230 of our scholarships. So, you know, every player is getting the full $5,100, whether you're a scholarship golfer or a scholarship women's tennis player or your football player. And so that's a cost of about $1.18 million per season that Boise State has decided to invest in their student athletes. And so certainly it's been beneficial to them recruiting-wise, another strong recruiting class. But, you know, we'll see that the meals, the unlimited meals thing that's kicked into, Boise State's trying to be a part of that. So, again, you know, they just got over $5 million for this last season for the TV revenue. So if they're not getting the types of money that SEC schools and some of the other schools are, but compared to Mountain West schools and Group of Five schools, they're bringing in a decent amount of money. Their TV contract's very nice with ESPN. BYU knows about that. And so, you know, certainly they're moving in the right direction with that. They got a new scoreboard. They got new naming rights for the stadium. They got a lot of revenue money coming in by changing the name to Albertson Stadium. So they've been doing some fundraising. They were committed to this. And again, it's over $1 million they're shelling out each year now to this. And they feel like the feedback so far has been very positive. And certainly, you know, we'll probably find out in this next recruiting class how much it benefits them there. But I think it's going to be big for them for sure.
I love how these cost of living algorithms work in these like mountain western states. Now all of a sudden, like places like Provo somehow have come up with Provo and Boise are now the same when the cost of living is like San Francisco and New York. You know, we're able to give these players a lot more now.
Boise State's given more money than like USC and UCLA are in LA.
Exactly.
It's like how's that possible that the cost of living is more money in Boise, Idaho than it is to go to USC for an athlete. So whatever their formula is, they must, you know, account for a vehicle and maybe car payments, or I don't know. But obviously cell phones and laundry and all that kind of stuff plays into it. But again, the athletic department has nothing to do with it, but certainly their number is high, and they're you know, going to see some benefits from it for sure.
Provo's using the same algorithm,
too. It's not all
Provo's
about just,
using the same thing.
It's about your tuition as well. There's other things involved. I don't understand the algorithm either, but it is
it's
more
science, Ben.
Look, the reason why they're subsidized, you know, let me just go off for a second. BYU, if you are a member of the LDS faith, it's much cheaper. Subsidized mm-hmm. tuition, right? Per semester, I believe I paid, when I was a walk-on at BYU, around $2,200 per semester. BJ, do you know what the tuition cost is at Boise State per semester?
I don't. I'm sorry. I didn't go there, and I really couldn't tell you.
It's okay. You know, I think that's why BYU was able, not only the cost of living here in Utah, but also because of the tuition being lower and it's subsidized, so I think they were able to offer more in regards to it. I don't have the algorithm in front of me, but there you have it. BJ Raines from the Idaho Press Tribune on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Let's break down the quarterback battle real quick, because BYU has only beaten Boise State once, and the only reason I felt like they beat them was because your starting quarterback went down to injury. You guys didn't have a quarterback. Hedrick came in trying to you know, execute an offense that he was still trying to learn. I think he was, you know, the bright lights of Lavelle Edwards Stadium. It was difficult for him to complete any passes versus a very good defense in 2012, I believe, or 2013. What can you tell us about the QB battle, and who do you think is the lead dog?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be really interesting because I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah, it was their last trip down there that they lost, and lost rather handily, if I remember correctly. You know, it's a four-person race right now. Ryan Finley was kind of the perceived leader. You know, the coaches aren't saying that, but if you just watch spring practice and you watch the spring game as far as how the reps were given out and who was doing reps with the first team and things like that, Ryan Finley, he was the backup last year. He's a redshirt sophomore this year. You know, he got a lot of praise last year that if Grant Hedrick had gone down, he was ready to step in, and they all felt confident in him. So a lot of people just thought that that Finley was going to be the guy. You know, there's a true freshman coming in, Brett Rypien. He's Mark Rypien's nephew, the former MVP of the Super Bowl. It's his nephew, and he set a lot. You know, he broke a lot of Kellen Moore's records in Washington for passing. And there's a good portion of the fan base that want him to start right away as a true freshman this fall. And you know, the battle was kind of seen as Rypien and Finley going into spring practice. And I think coming out of spring practice, it was apparent that Rypien is a little bit further behind, and you know, maybe can make it up in the summer and fall, but probably, you know, isn't quite ready yet to be the 4-year starter that everyone thinks he can be. And I think people thought Finley was the guy, and then Finley over the summer, about a month ago, actually got arrested for an issue where he was running from the cops at a party, and he's due in court next week. It doesn't sound like it's a major deal. He's going to get a minor in possession charge that'll probably stand, but I think the running into the backyard thing will probably go away. And from what I've heard, he's a high character guy and just kind of spooked, and it wasn't in his character. So there's some folks thinking he'll be suspended for that first game against Washington. You know, if that happens, who knows? If Rypien comes in and starts and keeps the job, who knows? I think they're just going to handle it internally. I think Finley is clearly the best guy, and I don't think they're going to risk that. So I think he starts against Washington. I think Finley's your starter this year. You know, they have a couple other young guys, a JUCO transfer named Tommy Stewart, who can run a little bit, a dual-threat guy, kind of like Hedrick. He's in the mix. I think he's probably actually number two right now as far as the reps that went in spring. And then they had a redshirt freshman out of Florida. They got Alex Ogle, really, really, you know, big, strong kid, great arm, but mentally is lacking a little bit. So they claim all four guys are still in the mix. They wanted them going in the summer thinking it's open competition so that all four guys are working in the summer and they'll decide on the guy in the fall. But if I had to put money down right now, I think that Ryan Finley probably is going to be the starter when the season opens up against Washington.
Yeah, Ryan, try not to run away from any police officers. Jan tried it one time. Didn't work out for him either.
Didn't work out for the police officers.
There were some folks worried if he couldn't run from the cops, how was he going to run from the opposing defenses? But I guess they're going to get past that.
Yeah, especially with the outside linebackers, BYU Fields, right? BJ, give us an update also on the running back spot. There's a battle going on there.
Yeah, you know, they lost Jay Ajayi, who had more carries and more touches than any player in college football last year. A huge hole to fill. You know, he was drafted by the Miami Dolphins and certainly going to have a tough time filling in there. They got a transfer from Stanford, Kelsey Young. His brother actually is on the Boise State team, and he's a guy, Corey Young, that they expect as a redshirt freshman to see some carries this year. His brother is a fifth-year guy out of Stanford that's going to get a chance to come in and play right away. They had a true freshman last year, Jeremy McNichols, that they really liked as well. So they feel like they have some guys there. It's certainly going to be more of a running back by committee type thing. 2, 3, 4 guys, you know, getting 7, 8 carries a game instead of Jay Ajayi getting 35 carries a game, which happened a lot last year.
Love the breakdown. Who's that? Tell me about this Kelsey Young. How good is he? Did he get any reps at Stanford?
He did. Yeah, he was a guy that I think he finished second on the team in rushing last year, and he actually scored a touchdown in the Rose Bowl a couple of years ago. He's a guy, I think he had 300 or 400 yards rushing, you know, didn't have crazy numbers, just wanted to be, he was second on the team in rushing, but wanted to be more of a guy that could be kind of the guy or at least get a chance to have more of a prominent role in the offense. So his brother was at Boise State, and there were some connections there with some of the coaches, and he decided to graduate and transfer and have 1 year left. And so, those graduate transfers are usually pretty motivated when they only have 1 year of eligibility left. So they had a need at running back. They had an incoming recruit that got arrested in his high school for bringing a gun to school. And so they decided to pull his scholarship. And so they were really short at running back this year. And they feel pretty good with Kelsey Young and some of these other guys. They'll be able to, fill the void here that they lose a big one from Jay Ajayi.
Is fifth-year transfer recruiting something that Boise State has done recently in the past or since it's become more popular?
Not a lot. They've looked at a couple guys in the past. They don't do a ton of it. If it's a position where there's a stopgap and they can get somebody where they really need just 1 year till somebody else is ready, they've certainly looked at it. I can't think of the last time they've had, a lot of guys, that they've done something like this. And, running back was certainly a need. They were looking at some JUCO guys as well and just decided this was probably the top option at this point to get a guy whose brother was already here. He wanted to come here. He was motivated. you finish second on the team in rushing at Stanford, that's nothing to be ashamed of. So I don't think they've done a ton of it, but if it works here with Kelsey Young, I wouldn't be surprised if they continue it in the future.
Who's Boise State's rival right now? Do they really even have a rival?
It's funny because the couple they have, Nevada, you could say Nevada, you could say Fresno State, they don't play either of them this year. The stupid Mountain West scheduling where they alternate three teams from the other division, Boise State this season will not play San Diego State, Fresno State, and Nevada, and they pick up UNLV, San Jose State, and Hawaii. And so it's very disappointing to some fans. I mean, they have the Fresno State rivalry is there, obviously, with they have a rivalry trophy, the milk can they give out. They've had some great games with them. Nevada is probably the one, you know, that's a big one. I think that's the one where there's a lot of hatred there, and there was a game in the past, obviously, where they lost. It had some BCS implications, and there was a fan. There's a famous photo of a Nevada fan flipping off a Boise State player as he's got his knee on the ground after the loss. And there's just, you know, I would say Nevada probably is a little bit above Fresno State at this point. You know, certainly some of these other teams the last couple of years have done to kind of get prominent, you know, with Colorado State and Utah State and obviously BYU. There's a strong BYU presence in the Valley, in the Treasure Valley. I think that's a big one as well. So they've got, you know, several teams that I think any given week they kind of consider a rival, but people here are really disappointed they're not going to be playing Nevada and Fresno State for the next 2 years. And it just looks weird looking on the schedule and not seeing them there.
I mean, how important is it in modern-day college football to have a rival, right? I mean, is it important for Boise State to have a rival? I mean, it seems like all the rivalries have gone out the window for money. Is it important that this BYU-Boise State matchup becomes a heated rivalry?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I mean, there was a nice rivalry between Boise State and Idaho. But when Boise State came into the Mountain West, they ended the football series with Idaho. It really wasn't doing much benefit for Boise State. They've been dominating the series lately. And, you know, there's a lot of Idaho alums in the area that wish they'd start the series back up. But Idaho wants to get Boise State to go up there and play. And there's really no incentive for Boise State to go up there and play when they can play a home game and make more money down in Boise. So, yeah, I mean, the thing about Boise State is they get everybody's best shot every week. I mean, you look at their schedule this year, there's like four or five games where teams are doing whiteouts or pinkouts or blackouts, and it seems like they get, you know, sold-out crowds. They get everybody circles Boise State on the schedule for the most part. So almost like every game's a rivalry. So, yeah, I mean, if they don't have one guy that's just their rival, I think they're okay with that because, you know, they don't have many games where they're not getting the other team's best shot, and I think it week in, week out, they know that the target's on their back, the other team's going to bring their A game on the road, the crowds are going to be hostile towards them and stuff, and they're ready for that, and I think that you know, they just kind of have that mindset that this is the team we're playing this week, and let's try to go 1-0 and move on to the next game.
BJ, great stuff. We appreciate you hopping on our airwaves and enlightening us, telling us all about Boise State football. I think you gave a few gems to BYU fans. They're very optimistic that you guys don't have a solidified quarterback or running back yet. Thank you for that optimism.
I'm looking forward to that game and coming down there, and it's going to be a heck of a game. I'm waiting for the game. You haven't heard the game time yet, have you guys? We're still waiting
no,
for the game time.
No, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard anything yet. I'm excited to see when. I hope it's prime time. I hope both teams come into. Oh, is it 8:30 Mountain Kick? Is that what you're saying?
I haven't seen that one.
He doesn't know. We don't know what time it is. Our producer's just talking in our ear what he hopes it will be.
It'll probably be the old 8:15 on ESPN2 that Boise State seemingly gets every other week and people here complain about. But, yeah, it should be a great game. Hopefully, you know, both teams are come in healthy and come in after playing well in week one, and it certainly should be a big one. It's going to be a tough one for Boise State, I know that.
Well, thank you for spending some time with us, BJ. We look forward to doing it again soon, brother.
Yeah, let's do it closer to the game for sure, guys. Thanks. Take care.